This word will transform me. This word will change me. This word will renew me. This word will bring revelation to me. Revelation to me. I don't want information this morning. I want revelation.
Hallelujah.
God, come be the Logos to us. Come be the Word this morning, God. I stand in the authority of the Holy Spirit. I must decrease and you must increase. Your Word must increase. Your power must increase. Your authority, Lord Jesus, in this place, for you said, go in my name. I give you all authority. And I have come in your authority, God, standing here before your people. Bless your servant, God. Anoint me, use me this morning, for your people are longing to hear from you this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, David, for that reminder that we have come to receive a revelation from God. We have come to receive a revelation from God. Have you come this morning to receive a revelation from God?
Yes.
You've not come to hear me speak, for I must decrease. He must increase. And he must increase this morning. He must increase this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read a few verses. We're going to read a few verses from here. Now Zechariah was in the presence of God. Every year the priest would go before God. And this was the turn of Zechariah, the priest, the holy priest. This man was chosen for this occasion to be before God and to pray for the people. Now he is before God. And verse 19 says, an angel of the Lord. Now let me begin with verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along years. The angel of the Lord answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day it happens because you did not believe my words which came to you at the proper time. Some of us are not ready to receive what God has to give to us. We simply ask foolish questions. Here was this man in the presence of God, and the angel said to him, I have come here to tell you, though you might be well along years, you and your wife, you've been faithful to me. God says, you've been listening to me, and you walked blameless. Those are the verses in verse 14 and on. I'm sorry, verse 11 and on. They were well along years in their years. And here they were blameless, righteous before God and serving God faithfully all their life. And they still hadn't had a child. Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth was barren, and Zechariah had served God, and he had prayed to God, and he said, God, you know how much I serve you, how much I love you, but my wife is still barren. For years, he had prayed like that. Imagine, you're praying many, many years, and you don't see a result. But here God says to this man, I've heard your prayers. And this angel comes to tell them the good news, that they are going to have a child. And listen to what the angel says. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth, she will bear your son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts to the fathers of the fathers to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This was what the angel said to him, that he would have a child. He and Elizabeth would have a child. And what kind of man would this man be? It describes here. A man who will be righteous, a man who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, a man who will bring people back to the Lord, a man who will come in the spirit of Elijah. In this season of Christmas, as we celebrate, we must have this sort of men and women. Men who will turn the hearts back to the people to the hearts, the fathers and the mothers to God. There's so much going around here in America, in England, and all over the world where we are celebrating Christmas, even in India and other countries where they're celebrating Christmas as it's a jolly good time. But Pastor Steve and I and others who have this passion, this fire burning within us, we see crowds of people and we say, how can we turn their hearts back to God? How can they hear the message of Jesus? This is what we think. This is what we dream. And when he knew I was coming, he said, I will turn this into an opportunity for people to hear the gospel. And yesterday you organized an event, and Pastor Raj, if you're here, thank you. Thank you. I think I saw him earlier. There you are. You organize an event to bring people so that their hearts can be turned towards God. We can do this today because of men like John the Baptist have shown us the way how to do it, pointing people to Jesus. And Pastor Steve, yes, he will give us a spirit of Elijah that will be loud and crazy. We need that to get people's attention so that they will come hear the gospel. And mothers and fathers, you must pray for children like that who will be raised in your families, who will turn people's hearts towards God. We live in a day when evangelism is dying. The Scotland that I visited just a few days ago, I'm hearing that there's only 2% that are totally sold out to God, like total believers, people who are sold out to God. I don't know how the church is doing there. But if there's only 2% that are totally sold out and strong believers, it must be a bad day in Scotland. When it gave birth to men like John Knox, who said, God, give me souls or take my life. When he walked, people would say, there goes a man that loves souls. Where are those men who are like John the Baptist crying in the wilderness? Men like John Knox, men like John Hyde who'd go to Pakistan and weep for people, India at that time, weep for people and say, God, give me souls or take my life. We need such men today in our homes. Our children must be raised like these John the Baptist. Because there's a word that they need to hear. Turn to God. Repent. Behold the Lamb. Pointing people to God. Turning their hearts towards God. Yes, we can do many religious things. We can come to church. We can do many religious activities. But is that pointing people to God? And Mike, I so appreciate what you are doing as a church and as you are doing with your friends here, pointing parents and children and their hearts to God. That's what God planted this church for, to point people to God. Why do we exist here? To just have a good Christian organization? No. Organizations cannot give birth to anything. They're just another program. We need agonizers, people who agonize for souls and say, God, why are we here? May we be a voice in this community. May we be a sound of the gospel wherever you are, that you'll be raised like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness. Listen to what the angel says. He will bring great joy to people. He will bring great joy to people. We are people who bring great joy. The things we say and the things we do, not to beat them over the head and make them feel guilty and horrible and condemned. For the gospel even reminds us that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. Amen. Our job is not to condemn and put down other religions. Our job is not to make people feel less. Our job is to elevate them and to give them dignity, to give them hope and esteem. Because they're made in the image of God to come into that full fruition of what God created them. So wherever we go, we must be people who bring great joy. Yes, when you think of John the Baptist, you think of this crazy guy standing in the wilderness screaming his head off. But really, he was calling them to a righteousness with God. You see, when you're right, you're happy. When you're pure in heart, Jesus said you're happy. I'm happy because I'm pure in heart. I'm happy because I don't hide sins. I'm happy because I'm good with people. I'm good with God. That's what righteousness is, being right with God and right with people. And that brings joy. And that's why we sing that song, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. And so John the Baptist was one of those people that he would be born into a world. Moms and dads, let's pray for those children that we have, that they will be raised like John the Baptist, bringing joy to the world. That's what my mother, she said when I was being raised, she said, I'm going to name you Wesley because you will be like John Wesley, bringing people to the Lord. And many a times when I would run from God, my mother would again pray, God, you. I named him Wesley to be that evangelist. That restoration continues to happen as moms and dads begin to pray for their children. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up on your families, because God has seen you walk righteously with them. That's what Zechariah and Elizabeth did. They walked righteously with God. And God said, I will bless you. I will bless you. I hear your prayers. I hear all the things that you are saying and doing. And I see them. I hear them. And I will bless you. I will bless you. Moms and dads, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandkids. Ask God to raise them up like John the Baptist, for he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers and people to God. Let us be like John the Baptist. Our job must be to turn people's hearts towards God. If we don't do that, our churches will die. Churches that don't evangelize will eventually fossilize and die. That's what's happening to the church in Scotland, in England, in India. And you know these missionaries from Scotland that went to India? I went to one village, Pastor Steve. These Scottish missionaries evangelized that village till everyone was Christian. And today, they are all Christian. Not too many places in India you'll find a whole village that says they're Christian. Thank God for these missionaries that went there like John the Baptist. We need more missionaries like that to go to these nations. And now even back to this land. And this church in that village, when I was standing there and speaking to them, I said, when will your church go not only to these villages but to Scotland, to England, and preach the gospel? I challenged them. I said, you have the means to go. Go! And so they are put their hands together and they are going to pray and they're going to make their way to Scotland and England, this church in this village. I've got some connections who are ready to connect them to Scotland. These missionaries from Scotland went and ate and lived and learned the language and sat with these people and ate and did what these Indian people did, and they converted a village. Isn't that fantastic? Can we do that again?
Yes.
Yes, we can. In these little towns here.
Yes.
In these little cities here, in Warrington, in Wigan, in Preston, in Broughton or Broughton, all of these places, we can, by the way we agonize before God and say, God, give us souls. God, give us souls. Evangelism must be the forefront of our ministry in this season and throughout the year. He said, come and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, I will make you fishers of men. He said, you may be fishers of men. No. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Say with me, he will make me a fisher of men. He will give me souls. He will help me evangelize.
Yes.
Maybe today you're not. But as you follow him close, as you get these revelations from God, you say, I've got to share this with somebody. I've got to share this with somebody.
Yes.
And you begin to talk about it. And so that's the first story. The second story, verse 30 and following. I'm sorry, verse 39 and following. At the time, Mary got ready and hurried to town in the hill country. I'm sorry, I've gone way further. Verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, to the descendant of David. The virgin was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne, the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord, your servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you say." And the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I to be favored to be, let me start again. But why am I favored, so favored, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her, and it will be accomplished." And then you see Mary break forth in a song. And here is now the second story of Christmas. First, you see Zacharias and Elizabeth have been blessed with a child. Elizabeth is 6 months along, and the angel Gabriel again, now commissioned to come and appear to Mary. God looked all over the universe and found this young girl that he must have said, she's worthy, she's innocent, she's pure, and she would do the most wonderful task of bearing the Savior of the world. And he picked her. Oh, that God would look at us like that. And he would say, this one will do, that one will do, I will choose that one. Wouldn't you want God to do that with you? But yet we find ourselves living lives that are unpleasing to God, lives that are careless before God, things in our lives are not in a place where God can say, I can use this one. When you look at the life of Mary and the innocence and the beauty that was in her, that God should say, this one is perfect, I will choose to live. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, and God put his treasure in this earthen vessel. And you see that earthen vessel is not perfect. That earthen vessel cracks and breaks and has its flaws. But God says, yes, I will put in this the light of the salvation, the glory of God, and the majesty of the world to die on the cross into this womb. This one that will die will be raised from that tomb and live forever and bring salvation. And that same God says, just as I did with Mary, I will do that with these that are willing to be that earthen vessel. Are you with me so far? Are you with me so far? Here God is saying to us, we might find ourselves, I'm not like Mary. I'm not this pure, innocent, virgin child. Yes, we're not. But yet Paul says in this earthen vessel, he says, I'm not perfect. But God says he will put his spirit, his son, the Savior of the world, the creator of the universe, that Logos, he will incarnate himself in us. Oh, I am so unworthy. We are so unworthy. But God says he will. We are so unworthy to bear the very Son of God. But he's looking for vessels that will hold him. And again, Mary had a very impossible thing. She hadn't laid with a man. How is she going to have a child? And you say yourself to yourself, how could I be this child of God? How could I live for him? How could I sell myself out and be sold out to God? It seems so impossible to do the things that God asks me to do. But Luke 1:37 reminds us, nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. Yes, you can live a righteous life. Yes, you can live a holy life. Yes, you can live a miraculous life. Yes, you can receive the miracles in your life. Things might seem impossible for you. But God says, when I come in the power of the Holy Spirit, I will do the impossible things in your life. The impossible things in your life. God can do it today. What is the impossible thing in your life that you're facing? What is the impossible thing in your life that you're facing, in your family, in your ministry? Raise it up to God. Say, God, how can I do this? I do not have the money. I do not have the means. That's what Elizabeth, Mary said. I do not have a man. I'm not married. I'm not there. How could I have this child? God did an impossible thing, did he? Did he not? To bring a Savior into the world. If he had used Joseph, then this child, Jesus, would not be this perfect virgin, born child. According to Isaiah 7:14, he said the virgin will bear a child. He had to fulfill that prophecy that was given 700 years before. This child that was born to this virgin was sinless, blameless, pure, so that he could die as a Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary, so that this sacrifice could bring us all atonement and forgiveness. If that child was born with Mary and Joseph being together, he would be just like any of us. If one of us dies, we cannot bring salvation to the world. No human can bring salvation to the world. That's why we cannot follow religious men, holy institutions, temples, religions. We cannot follow them to bring our salvation. The only one that we can follow to bring our salvation is Jesus, because he's the pure and the innocent Lamb that was slain for our sins. That's why all of heaven says, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Do you get that picture? Do you get that picture? Even heaven proclaims and acclaims, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. He is worthy. He is worthy because no other Lamb could be slain for our sins. And because of his death, you and I could enter heaven. That's why he had to be born a virgin through a virgin child. So many theologians in modern churches have given up that story of Mary. They don't want to believe that this child of Mary could be the Savior of the world. We must hold on to that faith that we've been raised and that faith that God gives us as we believe in this child of Mary. And then moving along, here is Mary. Hearing this, she's naturally afraid and she is fearful, but yet what God says to her, you are highly favored of God. I love that. The angel assures her and says, Mary, you are highly favored of God. And I want to tell you this morning, she didn't hear it just once because she heard it twice. Some of us, when we read something, it doesn't stick to us. And like David said to us this morning, a revelation comes again. We miss the first revelation. And then the angel says to her, you are highly favored again the second time. Maybe some of us need to be reminded this morning. You're discouraged. You feel like, what am I doing in this world? What am I doing in this office? Where am I going with my life? Where am I going as a parent? I don't know where you seek success. I don't know where you seek some promotion or some favor. God says to you, you're favored. God says to you, not just favored, you're highly favored. Say with me, I am highly favored. You're highly favored. Financially, you're highly favored. With your wife, you're highly favored. With your husband, you're highly favored. In front of your boss, you're highly favored. In front of your children, you're highly favored. I want to tell you, there's favor upon you, favor before you, favor behind you, favor to the side of you, favor all around you, and you are going to be favored. And even as you celebrate this year, welcome that Jesus who will give you that favor. But you can live this life without Jesus. You can go about the way you're living, and you might miss out on that favor. Mary received this favor because even the Son of God was going to come and live in her. God wants to give you this favor. This favor comes to us because we are a child of God. If you look out in the parking lot, this morning I'm driving a Mercedes-Benz for a rental car. I would not go and rent a Mercedes-Benz. When I look at the list of cars, yes, that is cheap. Yes, that one will work in my budget. You know, I'm looking at the economy car, the compact car. And when I showed up there, this young lady says, You need to drive a Benz. You need to drive a Mercedes. I said, no, I cannot afford that. It's not in my budget. She said, I'm going to make it work for you. And she did this and did that and looked at my ticket and she looked at all the things and she found a way to get me into a Mercedes. And that made Jonathan very happy because he loves Mercedes cars. And here I am driving all around here like a well-to-do guy, favored man. It's not my car. It's something that the Lord gives us. I don't know. That's not what... It's a Mercedes car is not going to make you highly favored. Or it's not a car. It's not a home. It's not the money you have. It's God inside your heart. Hallelujah. It's the Son of God inside your heart. Hallelujah. And that's what brings you favor.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you that when you got God in your life, there'll be favor in your work. You'll get the promotions you'll get the visa you're looking for still. He loves you so much. He's like a good daddy, a good, good father. He wants to bless you. He wants to honor you. Just as Debbie and I came here and we wanted to honor our daughter, we did all the things she wanted us to do and hang around her and bless her because that's what good fathers and mothers do. They give favor to their children. God is your parent. God is your father. And he says to you, you are highly favored. Say with me, I'm highly favored. I'm highly favored. So walk around as those who are highly favored. Walk around as those who are blessed by God. Don't walk like this. Don't pace around. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on the things that God has called you to do. Walk with boldness. Walk with authority.
Yes.
And when Mary heard that she was highly favored, and when God was going to do this great thing, she said, let it be to your servant as you say. Say with me, let it be to your servant as you say. Oh God, I'm your servant. I will do it. Anything. Come inside me. Be born in me, oh God. And oh no, this is a powerful thing. When you begin to confess and say, God, whatever you have for me, begin to say with me, God, whatever you have for me, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. I want all of it. I want all of you. I want you to overcome me, overshadow me, fill me, everything that you got for me. Do your miracles in me. Do your things in me, Lord, because I want your blessings. When we come with such desperateness before God, God will say, this one I'm going to bless. This one I'm not going to walk by. This one I'm not going to walk by. You see, that's the kind of prayer that got God's attention when Hannah began to pray like a crazy woman. She was screaming and she was crying. She was saying, God, oh God, oh God. Even Eli thought she was crazy, but she was favored. Wasn't she? She was favored. She brought Samuel into the world. Oh, your blessings are waiting. Your blessings are waiting. You need to get to that place where you say, God, I'm your servant. Do whatever. Do whatever in me, God. You know why God blessed Bill Bright and used him so greatly? When he began to follow Jesus, he took a piece of paper and he wrote down on it, today I commit my life to Jesus and I say I'm your slave and I write a contract with you. He said, I made a contract with God and signed that paper. Have you said, God, I'm your servant. I signed this contract with you. I make this covenant with you, God. Have you come to that place in your life where you said, God, whatever it is, young man, you're just 16, like Mary. I don't know what your age is. You're whether 16 or 60. Get in that place with God and say, God, I have not known you like I should. I've not experienced you like I should. But today I'm going to get that piece of paper and I'm going to sign a contract with you. I bow my knees before you. I lift my heart before you, God. I want all that you have for me. I don't want half. I don't want light milk. I don't want light nothing. I want everything, God, you have for me. I want everything, God. You can see that in Mary when she says that. Oh, as your servant says, oh God, let it be what you want me to do. Fill me. Even if this embarrasses me in front of my community, even when people think, how could you have this child without Joseph? Imagine that. Imagine that she would walk around with shame and fear and with suspicions of people. But she said, okay, whatever. Your servant. Yes, Lord, let it be. Doesn't matter what your friends say, what your family say. Doesn't matter what people say. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want you. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the afternoon. Jesus in the evening. All I want is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And when you become like that, I promise you, you will become pregnant with Jesus. And that's what the world needs to see. People full of Jesus.
Yes.
People need to see that person that is full of Jesus.
Yes.
And so what happened to Mary? When she began to pray like this, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she began to walk on this journey to bring salvation into the world. That's what's going to happen to you when you begin to bring yourself to that place. Oh, let it be to your servant, as you say. Lord, I commit my life to you. I want you to overshadow with me with the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples who are walking around with him, hey, you guys have been walking around me. You've seen all the miracles. You've seen me break bread and you've seen me feed people. You've seen me heal the sick. You've even seen me raise the dead. Yes, you've seen all that, but you can't do all that stuff because you don't have what it takes. So I want you to go to that place and be there. Wait. And they waited. They waited. You know, when Jesus rose from the grave and ascended on that day when he was ascending into heaven, Luke says there were 500 people. 500 people watching him ascend. But in that upper room, how many were there when the Holy Spirit came? 120. So maybe the 500 went there, but they said, I don't know if I can wait here 40 days. I don't know if I can pray like these guys. And they said, well, I've got to go take care of the sheep. I've got to go take care of the cows. And so one left here, one left there on the 382nd day, on the 352nd day. And then before you know it, the crowds began to get to 200 and 150 and then down to 120. That's what's happening in our churches. I sense your frustration. Why aren't people waiting with commitment to stay in the house of God, to follow God? And when you wait with commitment, and when you wait with all your heart, God will visit you and pour his Holy Spirit. For John the Baptist said, he said, I baptize you with water, but there's one that comes who will baptize you with fire. We need to wait for that one who will baptize us with fire. We're in a rush to go after church. We're in a rush to go do something on Sunday afternoons. We're in a rush to do something through the week when there are things of God that will fill our bellies, that will fill our soul. Say, God, I want more of you.
Yes.
I will wait in your house. That's why David says, one day in the house of the Lord is better than being somewhere else 1,000 days.
Yes.
Choose yourself to be in the presence of God.
Every
day, find yourself in the presence of God, practicing his presence, reading the word of God, praying, seeking the face of God. If you don't seek the face of God and you go into a world and seek the face of men, you'll get nothing. But if you seek the face of God, you have communed with him, you have found favor with him, you walk around your world knowing you're filled with God. And whatever you are around, you'll receive the favor of God. You will receive the blessings of God. But this one says, they were filled in the Holy Spirit when they waited. And you see the difference. You see the difference with the disciples when they were filled in the Holy Ghost. Peter goes down to the temple. On the way to the temple, he sees a man who is begging for food. He doesn't say to him, as it said in Mark 10, to blind Bartimaeus, you, be quiet, don't disturb the master. That's what the disciples did before. They were crowd control. They were security guys. They were the entourage that walked around with Jesus. Some of you are like the entourage that walks around Jesus every Sunday morning. You come here like that. You're making sure nobody's doing anything wrong. They come and dress nicely. They come into church. It's not your job.
No.
Your job is to see that those who are paralyzed get up and walk. Those who are bound by sin are set free. Jesus said, I have come with that anointing to set the captives free. These disciples hadn't received that anointing, but when they received the anointing, they said to this man, silver and gold we have none. Look at us. They said that with authority because now they had the Holy Spirit. And with authority, they said to him, rise up and walk. You see, that's what Pastor Steve gets excited. He's seen people do miracles, seen, experience miracles. I've seen people experience miracles. But in our churches, there's not that expectancy. There's not that people filled in the Holy Ghost waiting on God to do those miracles. And that's why miracles pass by to somewhere else, to those nations where their people are hungry. They're asking for these things, and God is demonstrating himself. It can happen here in England. When we are like these disciples waiting on God and walking in that power of God. And what happened? That man walked and leaped and praised God. That's what's going to happen if we receive that Holy Ghost. And see, that's why Jesus said, wait for me and you will receive the Holy Ghost and you will know this power. And see what happens now. So Mary, now she's received the Holy Ghost. God is beginning to work in her heart. And verse 39 says, and then Mary got ready and what? Hurried into the hill country of Judea. She now hurried into the hill country, difficult place, climbing up, hurried. There was a sense of urgency. Oh, God is doing something in my life. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to announce this good news. I've got to share with somebody. And guess who she's thinking? She's thinking of her relative Elizabeth. And she hurries to that home. I don't know who you will think of. I don't know who you will see in your mind's eyes. But you got to see somebody. Somebody down the street. Somebody in your family. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Somebody that works in your office. Somebody say, God, this Christmas, give me somebody that I can hurry to. Somebody's perishing. Somebody's languishing in pain. Somebody's struggling with burdens. Somebody's carrying a crisis, a trouble that they cannot be set free from. Ask God, God, who do you have for me to talk to? He will show you that Elizabeth. He will show you somebody that you need to hurry to. It's an urgency. There's a matter of urgency. Souls are perishing. That's what's wrong with us. We don't see that. We don't see that. We see people. One day D.L. Moody was asked by these English men, who said, you don't speak good English, you butcher our good English, and here you are in our country, yet people come to listen to you. What's the magic? What's the power behind it? And Moody said, walk with me to the window. And they walked with him to the window. And he said, what do you see? He asked the first clergyman, and the man said, I see cars, people, trees. Another clergyman walked up, and he said, I see moms strolling with their children playing in the park. And another man said similar things. And Moody went out and he looked out and he started to weep and he started to cry. And the clergyman said, did you see something? Did something happen? Why are you crying? And he said, I see people. I see people perishing without Jesus. I see people who don't know Jesus. And I have a passion to tell them about God. And that's why I'm crying. That's why I'm weeping. And so when God begins to give us such a heart, we'll begin to see with urgency. I've been in cities, I've been in places. When I went to this village in Rajasthan, I walked on the streets and I began to cry. And people were watching me on the street crying, and I'd stop and people would want to interact with me. And there was at this one home I was, and I was crying, and this woman came up, and I just couldn't speak to her. I just laid my hands and I prayed for her family. And then I walked on. She must have thought, this is some crazy man. You see, God begins to put people and places on your heart. You begin to weep. Have you wept for your children? Have you wept for this city? Have you wept for this neighborhood? Say, God, my people are perishing. My family is perishing. God, break my heart for that. Your heart breaks for this lost world. Your heart breaks for sinners. And you wept for Jerusalem. God, make me weep. You see, there must be that sense of urgency. The king called this page one time and he said, come, take this message. I want to pardon this criminal in the jail. And so the boy, he began to take this message from the king and he said, you know, that man is going to be released from the prison. I think I'll buy him some food. He stopped to buy some bread and croissants or whatever. And he said, oh, down the street, he said, there's some new clothes. Let me buy him some clothes. So he bought him some clothes. And he made his way down to the prison. And he said to the jailer, he said, here's a message from the king. And the king, and then the messenger opened up, and the jailer opened up the message from the king. And he said, this is so-and-so the king favors, and he wants to release him. And he said, oh, young man, you should have come 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, we just executed him. 5 minutes ago. In other words, there was no need for croissants and buns, and there was no need for clothes. See, that's what the disciples do. In John chapter 4, it says, the disciples went to the market to buy bread when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. And Jesus said to them, oh, disciples, lift up your eyes. In other words, he was saying, don't be looking at the bread. Don't be looking at material things. Don't be looking at what you can eat and what you can do with your lives. But look up and see the harvest is ripe, because this woman had just about that time brought her whole village to Jesus. And Jesus was saying, look at this harvest. Look at the people that have come because of this one gospel message. That's what God is saying to you, church. Lift up your eyes and see. Do things in a hurry, because the gospel must be preached. And so she goes in a hurry. She knocks on the door of Elizabeth. And as she knocks on the door and says, howdy, hello, whatever your way of greeting is, shalom. Oh, something began to happen. Oh, when she knocked on the door, Elizabeth said, when you knocked on the door, I began to be filled in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you begin to do things for God, when you touch people's lives, they begin to get the contact of God, because you are filled with the Holy Ghost. It's contagious. It's contagious. That's what happened in that church, in Billy Graham's church. I began to preach, and people were coming to the altar, and they said, you could have preached here all afternoon. So the church decided, we need to have this guy again. So they invited me to come back in March for a week. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes and falls on a church, perhaps it is because the messenger was filled with the Holy Ghost. You come and see God doing great things in this church, maybe because you came here filled in the Holy Ghost, receiving and ready to receive, praying for the pastor, praying yourself. And you see what happens, it's contagious. Here was Elizabeth being filled in the Holy Ghost. She had this miracle of John being born in her belly. And here was Mary being filled in the Holy Ghost, and she was carrying Jesus. And when these two pregnant women get together, they're like, woo! The Holy Spirit began to fall on both of them. That's what happens. We're crazy. When I met you, I thought, this guy screams and shouts. But I said, this guy is full of the Holy Ghost. I need to be around him. And so we became fast friends, because we feel the joy of the Lord. We feel the passion. And that's what happens when we are filled in that Holy Ghost. Mary was just knocking on the door. You might just be knocking on somebody's heart. You might just be sharing the message with somebody. Knocking on the door. You're not trying to barge into their life. You're not trying to force the gospel on them. You're just knocking on the door. That's what Jesus does. He's just knocking on the door. He's just knocking on the door, being a gentleman, waiting for people. And on the other side, God has already begun to work in their life. See, that's what evangelism, it's not up to you. The Holy Spirit brings the conversion. The Holy Spirit brings the transformation. Just wait on God. He's already working in that person's heart. But say, God, who is that Elizabeth for me? God, who is that person that I need to go see? Oh boy, something great was happening in this womb of Elizabeth. She says, John was trying to kick and leap for joy. You see, when you know that you are going to come and fellowship with Jesus, you're kicking for joy. You're kicking for joy. John the Baptist couldn't wait to come out and say, behold the Lamb. He couldn't wait to come out. Oh, that we would have such experiences of the Holy Spirit. Moms, you're carrying children who are going to experience God like that because of you. Because of you, your children are going to experience God. Yes, they might be kicking and screaming and fighting their way to church, but one day, they'll be kicking for joy. Amen. Don't give up that hope. Here was this child in the womb of Elizabeth, kicking for joy. He couldn't wait to come out and meet his cousin, Jesus, and to proclaim the gospel message. I don't know if you're kicking to come out of that womb and say, God, I can't wait to go out there and witness. I can't wait to go out there and proclaim. I can't wait to go out there and be a voice for you. Oh, that men and women would rise up like that, kicking in the bellies, You may be in a belly right now. You might be in a belly right now. But you're going to meet some incredible people who will make you want to kick and shout and scream and come out of that belly. I don't know what kind of belly you're in right now. But God is going to say, he's saying just a few more months. In 3 more months, you're going to come out. Elizabeth was about 6 months, huh? Is God saying the timing is short? The timing is short. You're going to come out of your cocoon. You're going to come out of that place. Your shyness, your fear, your intimidation, whatever you're feeling. God is saying you're going to come out and you're going to lay hands on people. You're going to pray for people. You're going to do great things for me. You'll bring great joy to people. You'll turn hearts of people towards God. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it. Receive that word right now. Say, God, I'm afraid, but I'm receiving this word. I'm receiving this word that I will do things for you, God. And today I want to be this one that comes out of this womb, this shyness, this fear, whatever is holding me back. I'll come out. Your timing, for you it's a timing. He doesn't want you to do something premature, but God is saying he'll bring you out. And here comes Elizabeth saying, who am I that the son of this mother of God should come be with me? Why was she saying that? Why was she saying something so incredible? This mother of God should be with me, so that the whole world will know that God comes to live among us and that we are unworthy, but yet God says, I want fellowship with you. I want fellowship with you. Here is the truth, that God incarnated himself to come and be our friends so that he could be a God that could be touched with skin and flesh. It's that connection. It's that relationship. It's not about a religion. It's not about a ritual. God wants to connect with people. So he picked Mary. Mary could connect with Elizabeth. God is so out there for so many people. They cannot connect with God. But through people, yes. But through people, yes. Through you, yes. Mary was so full of Jesus. She was so full of Jesus that when she went to somebody's house, when she knocked on the door, they could connect with God. I want you to be in a place where you today say, Lord, this Christmas, I want to be so full of you. I want to be so full of you, God, that wherever I go, that I will be so pregnant that people will see me and they will want to know this Jesus. You see, pregnant women, they cannot hide this pregnancy. How many women have been pregnant here? Anyone? Could you hide it and just keep it down there and go around? No. You're pregnant and people see you walking around like that. They come put their hand, sometimes unwelcome though. Let me pray for that. No, touch. What, did you have a girl or a boy? Oh, by the size of the way it's dropping, I think you're going to have a boy. No, a girl. People will do all kinds of crazy things because they see something protruding out of your belly. I don't know what's protruding out of your heart. I don't know what's out here carrying. What are you carrying in your life? Can people see that on Facebook? Can they see that in your social media? Can they see that by your walk, by your talk, that you're pregnant with Jesus? I know I'm pregnant with Jesus. I'm pregnant with Jesus. It's not going to stop in 9 months or 11 months or 90 months or 90 years. It's going to never stop because Jesus will be in me for eternity. And people will see it. People will know it. Sometimes we're so ashamed of this Jesus. I was at Tesco the other day, and I was asking this man who was in charge of security. I was asking him a few questions like, where can I park? Where there's a place to park? Where can I get this or where can I get that? And then I looked at him, and he was sort of like, I recognized by his accent he was from Africa, and I just kind of ask people from Africa usually where they're from and so on. So if I know they're from part of the world where they are, maybe I'll strike up a word or two in conversation with them because I pick up a few greetings and languages in their language. And this man was so not so welcoming, very reserved. And then I saw a little cross on his lapel. And I said, you're a Christian. Is there a church you go to? And he said, why you ask that? And I said, well, I see the cross. And he says casually like this, perhaps it's a decoration. I'm like, really? The audacity to say something like that, perhaps a decoration. And I said, I really pray that you know the one that was on the cross that died for you. Since he wasn't very welcoming, I wasn't going to barge in because I was still knocking on the door. Are you with me so far? I don't know if you're carrying Jesus for decoration or you're carrying him for life. This is my life. I chose Jesus because he's my life, my health, my future, my destiny. I've stopped going the way of death, but I've choose the way of life. And this Jesus is who is in me. I'm full of Jesus. I'm pregnant with Jesus. And I want to share this Jesus with others so desperately. May we come to a place in our lives where we're like that. We are Christians. We are worshipers of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. Let us not be full of other things. Not of the world. Not of the material things. Not of television. Not of football. Not of sports. But let us be full of Jesus. Full of Jesus. Full of Jesus. So that you're walking, you're pregnant. And nobody can deny that mama. Nobody can deny that you're carrying Jesus. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. I don't know where you are in your faith. I don't know where you are in your faith. Perhaps today you need to make a commitment to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're just a decoration in my life. I pray to you when I need blessings. I pray to you when I'm in trouble. I go to worship because I'm a Christian. Perhaps you will confess to that and say, Jesus, I need you new in my life. I need you new. Anew in my life. Fresh as you came upon Mary, as you came upon her full of the Holy Ghost and overshadowed her, overshadow me. And I say to you, let it be unto your servant as you say. I will sign a contract with you, God. I will make a full commitment and I will be sold out to you. No more being mediocre. No more being half-hearted. No more being uncommitted. No more being selfish. I pick up the cross today and follow you, Jesus. Will you say that to him today? Will you say that to him today? Say that to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to commit myself to you. I want to renew my relationship with you. I've not been desperate for you. You've been just another prayer I pray. Another day in church. But no, today it's not another day in church. It's not another prayer I pray. It's not another religious thing I do. But it's all that I do. All that I do. All of me, God, for all of you. All of me, God, for all of you. I humble myself before you, God. I humble myself before you, God. I come to you. If you are willing to be humble, if you're willing to get that righteousness in your heart, I'm just calling Christians, I'm just calling believers, just you as a child of God, say, God, I want you in a desperate way. I want to be so pregnant with you this season, all the days of my life, so that where I go, I'll bring joy. Where I go, I'll bring happiness. I want to be so full of you, God. Begin with me today. I want you to get up from the altar, get up from your seat and come to the altar. Whoever you are, 16 or 60, wherever in between or whatever your age is, it doesn't matter. You just humbly come before God. Get it before the altar at God's foot, his throne, and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. Because the task before us is unfinished. There are millions of people perishing and going into a place that is without Christ. It begins with the church today and say, God, I will take this gospel seriously. I will evangelize my world. For those of you that are committing your life, recommitting your life, you come. And for those of you who already are committed to God and say, God, I want to have a passion for evangelism. I want to take your name to the people, my neighbors, like Elizabeth, like Mary did. Like Mary went to Elizabeth's house. I want, Lord, to be emboldened. I want to be encouraged. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You just come up to the altar and we're going to begin a time of prayer. And you come. You come. And take this place before God. Sometimes it just takes one. And once one person gets up and comes, the others will follow. So you come and say, God, I'm ready to sell myself. I want to be sold out to you. I come before you, God. And at this time, come. You come. Bow your knees before him if you can. If you're able to physically do it, just bow your knees before him and say, God, in total surrender. The apostle.